We belong. We belong everywhere. Whatever you want to do, wherever you want to go, you belong.
Hello everyone and welcome to this new episode of We Belong. Today we are at the European Parliament and I'm joined by the member of the European Parliament from France, Salima Yembou. So welcome, Salima, first of all.
Thank you.
And by the way, thank you for welcoming us because this is your place of work, basically your workplace. So Salima, as for every guest, as we start, what is one word that best describes you or your work?
One word is very impossible. No, seriously, I will say emancipation.
Nice.
Emancipation is what best characterizes my background. Daughter of immigrant Algerian parent from Algeria, growing up in one of France's largest suburbs, the Cité des 3000. À Aulnay-sous-Bois. I was able, thanks to the School of the Republic, to climb one step after another to become a member of the European Parliament. It was a hard road, harder than for other people. And I had to work twice as hard, but France and our European project make this meritocracy possible, make this path to emancipation possible.
Well, thank you so much. You know, I often say, we often hear this sentence, when we are immigrant descent, sometimes we can't take the lift. We have to do all the stairs, you know, one after the other. But thank you, because now you're very proud to represent also your roots, your background, your story, and the story of so many that are not here today. Today there are 24 MEPs who are from immigrant backgrounds or from, you know, people of color out of 751, which is, I mean, it's a shame for Europe. Like, the representation, I would say, of the population is so unequal. And you, as you well said, you come from Saint-Saint-Denis. You grew up there and you also decided to work in education at the beginning of your career. So can you tell us more about your childhood and how did you, you know, how was it to grow up in Saint-Saint-Denis in France, French suburbs?
Yes, I grew up in Aulnay-sous-Bois in the Cité des 3000. I was a very happy child and I was immersed in a cosmopolitan environment, which every religion and skin color mixed, a real cultural richness, a real openness to the world. However, this cultural, ethnic and religious heterogeneity came up against a rather violent economic and social homogeneity. Because what broke us all together in this same suburb was precariousness. And I understood very early on that it was through the School of the Republic that I and we could emancipate ourselves from this social class. And it was a message that my father hammered into us at home, is I want to see you always with a pen in your hand. Work hard at school so that when you grow up, you'll be in an office, not on a building seat like me, is the message of my father. And this role of the school has a real driving force behind emancipation and meritocracy, has been and still is a driving force behind my commitment. Firstly, as an association member, for over 10 years, I shared a homework help association so that young people of in my neighborhood could benefit from support to help them succeed at school. I then became a teacher, then a school principal, then a trainer, and finally the head of vocational high school, always with the same determination to help our young people emancipate themselves through school. And of course, a political commitment first has a local councilor, and then at European level in the parliament, where my fight for young people is always at the heart of my actions.
Absolutely. And I mean, I'm very proud to hear that your father was really encouraging you to study, and especially, you know, education is so key. We have a point in common, which is I also started my volunteer experience by, you know, doing homeworks in French suburbs. I was in Grenoble, which is, you know, labeled as the Chicago of France. So at 16 years old, I would wake up on Sunday morning and go help these children. But then, like, to see, and this is like a climbing for you of the mountain, because then you became a principal, then, you know, a teacher principal, and then, I mean, an MEP. It's like you arrived really at the top of the mountain. And so you were elected at the in 2019 during the last elections. Previous to that, as you said, you work on the education sector. And my question for you ahead of the European elections, or, you know, in this context of, you know, the future of Europe, and in, especially in your current mandate. So as a French member of the European Parliament, what are your priorities or the priorities of France to foster equal equal opportunities and, you know, access to education, a broad and open access to education, as we say in French, l'égalité des chances?
I will already like to point out that major advances have been achieved since 2017 under the impetus of our President Emmanuel Macron. I am thinking in particular of the duplication of CP-CE1. Do you know CP-CE1?
Yes, yes, no? I do.
It's the first two classes years of the elementary school. And it's a priority neighborhoods of the significant upgrading of teachers' salaries, which were eagerly awaited. We need to continue in this direction to enable teachers to teach in good conditions. This is crucial. Education is the heart of our republic, the heart of our democracy. We are investing massively in it, and we are fortunate in France to have free, secular public schools open to all citizens. However, we must not close our eyes because there are still strong social inequalities. The new reforms are coming, and others will follow. The reform of the vocational high school, for example, is going in the right direction. I think we also need to think about middle school, which is an important stage where a lot of things are played out. Dropping out of school, orientation, adolescence, college is a big issue. In my opinion, diversity within schools remains the biggest problem. If our schools no longer allow people to meet, exchange, self-building with different backgrounds from other cultural, social and economic backgrounds, our society will become poorer and break our unity. We are going to have to fix that at the risk of seeing how society become more fragmented. I think there are another example, the SNU, Universal National Service, provided an initial response to this challenge. The generalization of this system will allow our young people to find themselves, to develop this esprit de corps.
All right.
Yes.
Translation, yes, for our listeners. It's like a spirit.
Not spiritual, but esprit de corps, c'est la solidarité ensemble.
Okay, you can say solidarity.
Well, solidarity, to develop solidarity and the will to make society together. They cannot be only the only answer to the lack of diversity, but this is a very interesting first step.
Amazing. And you know, I will challenge you a bit. I know it's not your responsibility, it's France's responsibility, but I will tell you something. It's Europe's responsibility, because I grew up in Italy, right? I arrived in France after 15 years old. How many young people, especially from immigrant backgrounds, they are directed toward vocational school? I was, because I was a troublemaker, I had ADHD, I discovered it at 25. But back then, at 15 years old, nobody knew. So my brothers and I, my brothers, they dropped out of school. I was a failure. And then when I arrived in France, I had a great chance compared to Italy, because in Italy, they wanted to direct me into this vocational school. In France, I got the chance to study in an international school and then to get into Sciences Po Bordeaux. And the reality of these schools, even though some efforts are made for scholarships, the reality is we are very few from the, you know, lower social classes, very few from immigrant backgrounds. And even being there, you get so much stigma from teachers. Like, I had very difficult experiences sometimes with teachers. But it's important for you to bring different perspectives and realities, because maybe you saw a different France. But I would say, personally, there is still a big social fracture between, you know, the higher class and the lower one. So for education, I mean, my dream is to see really a big change, a big investment from President Macron and the French government. But next question for you. So you're of Algerian parentage, and you are part of a minority here at the parliament. As we say, there are 4% of or 5% of people that are from immigrant backgrounds at the European Parliament. So can you tell us how your experience in the parliament has inspired others around you, but also others that, you know, vote for you and follow you with similar backgrounds than you?
So I hope that it's the case.
You do inspire us that we belong, so I'm sure you will inspire our audience. But yeah,
it's always a bit presumptuous to say I inspired this or that person. But I think that when you come from a minority and succeed in a field, you break this under-representation and necessarily become a visible and inspiring person for our fellow human beings. Despite us, we will carry the duty of exemplarity. Because we know that many will identify with us. It's the case for me, but it's not only my case. You look Rachida Dati, you look Rachid Arab, you yes. look Kylian Mbappé, Roche Dizem is Morocco, French Morocco, Omar Sy. There are a lot of person. Necessarily, we have a role to play. And that I really realized it during my Tour de France des lycées.
Yeah. Yes.
I travel across France from Lille to the northern district of Marseille, so that the youth of our neighborhood who are not often given the floor on a subject as important as Europe, can express themselves and propose their ideas for the Europe for tomorrow. I saw in their eyes, in our exchange, that through the story of my career, my function in the European Parliament, I was an example for them, a way of saying, oh yes, if it's possible for them, for us, it's possible for me. Ah, good.
You know, we always say we belong. If you can see it, you can dream it. And that's exactly why you are on our podcast,
yes,
you know,
exactly.
today. So exactly. Thank you for mentioning this.
Thank you. So, and by becoming visible, we become landmarks. Examples, it's important to be aware of that because we have to be exemplary. We must also take the time to meet them, to explain how course, how path, and to tell them that emancipation is also for them. Finally, because we have to open doors. It's not about saying, oh, yes, I'm here, it's for me, and it doesn't matter for the next generations. Too many have done that. It's helped to us to make things easier, to act so that this under-representation subside, and so that others, many more others, can in turn engage and succeed in all areas. Make belonging to a minority no longer a factor of failure. It's a work that we must do to re-enchant our meritocracy.
Absolutely. And it's, I couldn't say it better. So thank you so much for mentioning this. It's really the core values and mission that we have and we belong. It's, you know, media, politics, public spheres, we need to have representation. We can't speak about migration without having migrants. We can't speak about immigrant descent without having them on the table. Today we are at the European Parliament for this event from Comitato 3 October that commemorates every year the migrants that died at sea. And migration in particular is the, I always say, it's the winning and losing topic of elections. So if we don't have the right people at the table when decisions are made, how can we include or how can we, you know, fight for these people's rights? Like, you come from the education background, you worked in this field, you worked in the banlieue, you know the context, you know different realities, and I'm sure that your presence, both in France and here at the Parliament, is so needed. So thank you. And I would like to ask you, what is, in these 5 years in the Parliament, what were your main achievements?
During my mandate, I focused on developing my work around three axes. The first of all is youth. A cross-cutting theme on all the issues I have been able to work on. More than ever, we must invest in how youth build with them the European citizenship of tomorrow and strengthen their sense of belonging to ensure the development and sustainability of our project, a European project. It is in this sense that I have worked hard to double the budget of Erasmus Plus and make it accessible, accessible to all of health youth, especially through the opening up of the vocational high school. I am also very proud to have obtained the rescue of the Discover EU. I don't know if you know this program.
Yes.
That allows how young people to discover Europe for free the year they turn 18.
18, yeah.
Yes.
For 18 years old, they can travel across Europe. I think via train, right?
Yes,
I saw that. But I was like, I'm too old. I'm 28 now. But that's an amazing program, thank you.
Yes, and culture.
Culture. Youth
culture. By promoting a culture, accessible culture to all, a culture that makes it possible to build bridges between people and between generations. By reactivating cultural diplomacy as a central issue in partnership relations with third countries and by laying the first milestones for European status of the artist. Mm. Yes. And finally, in foreign affairs, by actively participating in renewal of the partnership between Europe and Africa in win-win exchange for civil societies, in a respectful and peaceful framework, promoting the development of both continents, with a particularly intensive work within the delegation to the Union for the Mediterranean, you know, to promote new exchanges between the country of the two shores of the Mediterranean.
Amazing. I mean, I used to work with them for a program, but it's such, I mean, the Mediterranean being originally, my grandfather was from Sicily, and my father is from Morocco. The Mediterranean is both a rich cultural place, but also a sad place for our democracy. And that's where Europe is failing us as citizens. So I think it's very important to continue the work that you do. And I hope that for the next 5 years, we will see you here around again. So as we end, what is your hope for the future of Europe and particularly representation in the European Parliament?
My hope is that finally diversity.
Diversity, thank
diversity,
you.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Diversity. We want diversity.
And the representation of minorities that must result from it will be perceived and integrated as a Wales, as a real added values. We have made remarkable strides in recent decades in the fight against gender inequality and homophobia. We must put the same ambition and vigor into this commitment. I had a chance by joining Renew Europe and the French delegation to find a political family that allowed me to continue my emancipation and in the European scale. My background, my origin, my dual culture have been perceived as real assets to carry new battles and new advances within the European Parliament. This is a hallmark of how family politics, and I will be eternally grateful for this. I wish to continue this commitment to the representation of minority in this second mandate by pursuing this DNA that makes Renaissance the pro-European party in favor of emancipation Europe.
Thank you so much. And I mean, as we close, you say something that is really, we speak the same language, you know, like you say something that is really in line with what we do, because we always say, our approach is to turn stigma into a strength. And when you said my diversity, my cultural background, it's an added value in my work, in what I can deliver, what I can bring to the table. That's all we try to explain to, you know, politics, companies. We work with private sector, NGOs, institutions. Like, we need diversity. It's proven, like, when there is a diverse team in the workplace, the employees, they are more productive, there is more innovation. It's proved. There is statistics on this. So thank you. As we close, what is one message that you have for our young listeners that will hear our episode?
The future of Europe must be written by you. It's not a distant subject for which your voice would not count. Europe is you, and you are the solution, not the problem. Given the rise of extremists that advocate the withdrawal of identity, community divisions as a solution to all our ills, you have a great role to play, a responsibility to bear in order to preserve our European project, which has been the only remedy for wars and genocides. We need Europe. A Europe that looks like you, like me, like them. A Europe that finds solution to the challenge we face. It's how European unity, your skills, your ideas, your solidarity, and above all your commitment that we allow our Europe to be there. Europe is a unique project in the world. It's an opportunity to do better together, to develop, to innovate, to meet, to create together. On June 9, go vote. On June 9, go vote. It's very important for us, but even for you. Look at the problem with the Brexit. The Brexit, it's a lot of old people to vote.
Yeah.
But the consequence is for young English people. And it's very important to go vote to preserve our Europe.
Well, you know, I got emotional when you were saying this.
I look.
Oh my God, it's like I'm very grateful for what you're saying.
Thank you.
We are grateful that finally we have leaders that say it openly, because for a long time we were the youth advocating for it and trying to make our voice heard. Today we're at the European Parliament speaking about it. We Belong Europe with MEP Yem. We thank you so much.
Thank you.
And thank you for your work.
Thank
you for having been with us.
Thank you.
This was the end of our episode. If you liked it, please share it. And you can find us on all platforms and social media. Bye.